Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now it's time for some Twin Cities culinary talk with two foodies. One actually knows what they're talking about. The other just does it to be pretentious.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Bringing her expert opinion, it's Minneapolis St. Paul food critic, Dara.
2:34 WCCO, final half hour of the broadcast. Adam Carter in for Chad and our weekly feature with Dara. And we appreciate her time. Dara, how are you this kind of gloomy day?
I am, you know, I'm inside. I saw the orange sky this morning, and I did not, go out yet again. So just like hanging out with the puppy on the couch. It's crazy, man. I never leave the house anymore.
Are you going stir crazy?
No. I mean, yes. I mean, of course. Of course I am. I'm not going, like, I think if stir crazy is, a 0 to 10. Like, I'm just always at 7. So it's not like I'm any worse than that today. So, yeah, it's bad, Adam. It's bad.
It's bad. It's all bad. I was hoping to get some positivity, and I'm glad you brought up your dog. I saw your video the other day where your dog was spooked by a branch, as only puppies seem to be spooked by branches and leaves and things like that. Tell us about your dog.
Breaking news, there was a branch weighed down. It was a rose bush, in fact. Fact matter. So it was a rose bush branch weighed down by snow, and then my puppy disturbed it, and it sprang up, and she just jumped. It's so crazy to think about that you could live in Minnesota and have never experienced snow in your whole life. But if you're 6 months old, that's how that works. She hated it the first day. She was extremely confused. She kept doing things like trying to smell under the snow, and so just completely face planting, you know, just whole face in snow trying to get under it. But after 2 days of sort of barking at it and jumping in and out of it, now she loves it. We went out yesterday and she was, you know, running all over the place and trying to get more of it. And it's just, I love snow. I was not prepared quite
for it
to come now.
Who is?
It's kind of like you're throwing a party and that one guest like shows up when you're still, you know, don't have your pants on. And you're like, oh, you're here.
Punctual. Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't be punctual.
Don't be early.
Yeah, right.
Everyone wants an early party guest. It's like, this party starts at 8. This party's not starting at 5.
Yeah.
It's just not helping. I wasn't ready, but here we are, and it's beautiful. What can I say?
You don't sound terribly enthusiastic. You didn't really sell that beautiful. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I tried to, I try to see the good in it. I took some pictures of some snowmen. People, you know, it was really great snowman snow.
Yes. And snowball snow. Snowballs, too, yeah.
Yes. Snowmen, snowballs. Yeah. We don't go down this road any farther. it just remains that you want October, you want that kind of perfect fall, you know, kind of the leaves are blowing and it's spooky and it's Halloweenish. And, you know, it's bad enough the kids have to wear snow pants on their costumes, and now they're going to have to wear, rain boots, snow pants, and, like, the whole thing.
Is that winter calling saying they'll be early again?
I think it is. Yeah. It's probably someone just calling to say that I can get a warranty on my vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is like the telemarketers, they just know. They can just tell that we're trapped in our homes.
Yep. If you have a question food related for Dara, 651-989-9226. We already have a question we'll get to in a little bit. But I know I'm trying to be positive, but for restaurants in this town, I just don't know how they do it, especially with the numbers going where they are in related to COVID. I'm frankly surprised that like we haven't had more dial turning. But as we head into winter now that the patio situation's over, I guess how worried are the restaurants that are still hanging on?
I mean, everybody's terrified. Things are really bad. We're keeping a running list at mspmag.com of all the restaurants that are closing. And it's like everything is happening so swiftly that I can't even keep up with it. You may remember some of the big news earlier this year. Minneapolis had our first natural wine bar. Oh, there's the
fuck. Yeah.
Called Bar Brava.
Yep.
And then they closed. So it's like, oh, we had a natural wine bar for all of, I don't know, 6 months. I mean, anything that just opened and is carrying all that opening debt is just in really bad shape. Little Tijuana closed. Like, how crazy is that? Little Tijuana, where, you know, you could always go and be drunk and it would be 1 o'clock in the morning and you'd have a really stomach filling burrito, yeah. Right? Like, how could that close? But, you know, how could anything stay open? So I got an email from a listener of the show a week or two ago. It was like, oh, you know, stop asking for government help for restaurants. You know, children will just be paying for that for generations. Well, it's like, you know what the city is going to look like in 2 years?
Right.
Do you know? You know, people are like, oh, people will be, restaurant owners will be fine. No, they really won't be. A lot of people have their houses leveraged into their restaurants. So it's like they're not just going to lose the businesses. Your streets are not just going to be empty. This is just, you know, deeply bad. Like no one had any way to plan for this.
I don't know how many people would actually think that restaurant owners would be in good shape. Like suddenly they've had a huge nest egg that, they, you know, opened this restaurant. And
yeah, this letter last week, like, it just made me so angry. Yeah. Like, you know, the idea is sort of that, like, you know, these restaurateurs have reputations that are so golden that they can't go under. Well,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, you, like, person in your house in a diner, like, sure, you would go to their next restaurant. But when their fish supplier is left holding $150,000 debt, when their wine supplier is worth, you know, left holding $80,000. What, you know, none of those people are going to work with them ever again.
Yep.
So, I mean, it doesn't really matter if like you in your house think that that person is a good, upstanding person. They're not going to get the loan. They're going to be sitting there under, you know, 7 years of bankruptcy. They're not going to get the investors and they're not going to get, you know, extended goodwill from all the suppliers who, you know, God willing, make it through this themselves. So it's kind of obnoxious and insulting if people from the outside just look at restaurants and are like, oh, they'll be fine. Everything will be fine. You'd have no evidence. You do not have any evidence that things will be fine.
Well, why start now, people? Why have evidence to make sort of claims? That's kind of the world we live in right now.
Yes, and this is the hill that I will now die on, Adam. You know, I think I'm going to be the one person who's going to just start enforcing that it's immoral to lie. I'm doing it. That's what I'm going to start doing. It's like, are you passing
hot
on
take.
Bad news?
Hot
That's
take.
Immoral.
Lying is bad. Hot take.
Well, not only is it bad, but it's bad when you do it, you know, from your tiny little Facebook account.
Yeah.
Like you don't get to escape through this because somehow you think you're not important and the media is bad.
Yes.
No, you don't get to lie anymore. Like everyone has to take personal responsibility for slander and lies. That's me. That's what I got to say.
That's why we love having you on, because we never know where we're going to go.
Yeah, I know. And didn't see this coming. Well, it's just like, how are we going to get through this? How? You know, I think it was like everybody has to start kind of thinking about how to bring not just, you know, not just like solutions, but also kind of moral solutions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about, Adam.
As I try to think about, you know, all the talk about will Minneapolis ever be the same, the food scene in Minneapolis is so critical to at least the idea of Minneapolis we had prior to 2020 and
yeah.
just how built up it was and how good it was and how we've had big names here for food. How worried are you, though, that those names will stay here and that we will rebound in that area?
Well, I think the names are going to stay here. It's not like anybody's moving to New York or Los Angeles and all this. The problems are more, you know, a lot of the problems that we've had in Twin Cities food the last 5 years have really been out-of-town landlords. You know, so what happens is the buildings get sold to investor groups somewhere else. And then the investor groups somewhere else don't, you know, they jack up the rent enormously to justify their purchase price. And then instead of ever lowering the rent, they just take the loss, take a tax loss on the high rent that they're not collecting. So that's, you know, one of the things that's been really hurting the local restaurant scene is these exorbitant rents on empty spaces. And so, you know, will some of these buildings end up in the hands of locals? Like, that's kind of a long-term
right.
question, and I'm not really seeing anything there, not hearing anything yet. So, but I'm not worried about anyone moving away, because it's like, you know, everywhere is just as bad
right.
as everywhere.
It's not like
point.
We're on an island, right? Can you take a couple of questions from our texters?
Sure.
Somebody is asking what is happening to Isaac Becker?
Isaac Becker is laying low. Yep. He is, you know, here and healthy, and he is just waiting for the end of this.
Riding it out. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one strategy. A lot of the places are bleeding money. You know, people are taking in 20% of revenue, and nobody knew that they were going to be taking in 20% of their revenue until they actually did it. And so he just decided to, you know, hold on to what he had for as long as he could.
When is Taco Riendo opening after their fire?
That I don't know the
don't
answer
know.
To. Isn't that building a total loss?
Is it a total loss?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not totally sure on that.
Are there any new Korean restaurants in the Twin Cities area? New restaurant is a concept, but are there any?
I don't think there's any new Korean, you know, when are we talking about, you know, how new? There's a, nothing, not that I'm aware of.
Ask Darryl what to serve with salmon.
That I can do.
I like,
I love, you know, salmon and Pinot Noir. That's one of the great pairings
well,
in life.
Anything is good with Pinot Noir. I mean, I like.
I don't know. I mean, certain things, like if something gets too spicy, it can kind of swamp it.
Yeah.
But
I like wine, dear. I don't care what kind it is.
Yeah. Well, champagne is another great salmon pairing, and it kind of depends on what you're going to do with it. Like if you're going to, do something fancy, get a cedar plank and grill it outside, then you can go with something more smoky like a Rioja. And now I've come alive. This is an exciting topic for me. It's like, it's just also, it's really frustrating not being able to, impact anything.
Right.
You know, I feel like I've made some really persuasive arguments and I'm seeing what persuasive arguments are worth in today's economy. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I've argued this, I've argued that, and just everything is so locked up on the, you know, higher level than I am that it's frustrating for me, Adam. How can I affect the world if nobody listens?
People are listening. They're texting, and you're giving them wonderful answers. I think this
good.
Is fantastic. But you mentioned Rioja. I love Spanish wine. I'm on such a Spanish wine kick. Oh, man, I don't know what it is about them. It's just I find them marvelous.
They are. They're underpriced too.
Yep.
The reason that Spanish wines are so cheap is because they don't allow anyone to irrigate their wine.
Oh.
So it's like they only grow wine where wine can grow. And you may think like, oh, that's kind of idiotic. Of course, you only grow wine where wine can grow. No, that's not true at all. Throughout Australia, for instance, people get this kind of like gold rush mentality. They're like, we can grow wine in the desert. All we have to do is, you know, get a giant loan to irrigate it. Well, at, you know, the end of the story, once you've watered the Australian outback, all of these salts, because it used to be ocean floor at some point, you know, all these salts start percolating down to up, and now you've got to, you know, all this mitigation costs and things like that. So if people only grew wine where wine could grow, then you'd have wonderful wines, yes, such as Spanish wine. And that's one of if I could like wave a magic wand, one of the things I would do in this country is not allow irrigation for wine. I just think it's immoral. I know we just need water for so many things, and it kind of messes up all the incentives, and people end up growing wine where it should not grow. That's an off topic.
That's a good topic, though. We could do a whole new segment on that. This is a question, though, from a texter that I'm also wondering the same thing, and I'm hoping you'll have an answer to this. If you don't, it's okay. This is a texter. I have deer in the freezer from last year, as do I, but will likely be receiving more as the hunting season is approaching us. Are there any good things you can do with tougher or old venison? First of all, what's the expiration date on that, do you think? Like how
hungry are you?
What level of Armageddon are we in where we have to turn to the old deer that I killed in 1986?
It's vintage at that point. You know, it will, stuff like that, like once you cook it, you know, the only problem is going to be the deliciousness, right? It might be tougher than it should be. It might be less flavorful, but it won't be poisonous. Like you could really take a bunch of, you know, very old deer and cook it up into chili. And that's the next thing I'm going to say. Oh, chili. Is there anything better than venison chili? Like a really good, you know, well-spiced, layered up venison chili. That's what you should do with your older meats. And if it's tough, I always think like a good secret ingredient is a little balsamic vinegar or a lot of balsamic vinegar. The acid will really tenderize things towards the end there.
And depending
how
gamey the venison is too. I mean, some like deer from different parts of the state, like where I hunt, they get pretty gamey, but you can mask that. Venison kebabs too, like on flatbread with some garlic paste is always a good way to go too.
See, I like gamey. Because gamey is like you can go in a whole other direction. Then you can get a bunch of rosemary and garlic, and then, you know, maybe pour some of that Rioja we were talking about into the pot, and then you're just in maybe some mushrooms, and then you're in like a whole direction that I am crazy about. Give me that funky, gamey venison. You don't like it? Toss it over here. I'll trade you.
Beautiful. Let's leave it at that. See, we ended on a positive note. You've reached the people. You've given life to old deer that are sitting in the freezer. And
when does pheasant season start?
It's on right now. Pheasant season is underway.
I will say that. Like one of the things that is totally underrated in Minnesota is we can eat like kings. Anyone that hunts pheasant and gets pheasant, that's living.
Yeah.
That's the best.
100%. And duck, too. Duck.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dara.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.